Preventing illness and creating wellness is one of the keys to living your life to the fullest, and there is no one I know who's better to teach us how to create a healthier life experience than America's doctor. Here's Dr. Mehmet Oz.
Welcome to Open Friends, XM 156. This is Dr. Oz. So there are a few folks that play an influential role in our lives that over and over and over again we refer back to when we think about why we went the right way when we had a critical juncture. And there are very few people, I think, when they look back on their lives, look at the things they did and have a ton of regret, because usually you find some way of making it work. But there are a couple of turning points that clearly changed the course of your life. And I asked them to come in today to speak to us who played that role for me. Ivan Kronenfeld, who's a man of many talents, of which I will discuss only a few in the hour we have together, is someone that I actually met through Lisa. Because when we first came to New York, part of the reason we came to New York was because Lisa was an actress, and she was working with Ivan, who's an actor himself, and taught a class. And I would once in a while wander down there to see what the heck they were talking about, because every time Lisa would come back from the class, she'd have really much more of a philosophical perspective on what was going on in her life. And so I realized after a while that under the guise of teaching acting, Ivan was actually teaching philosophy. So I figured, hey, if I can get free philosophy classes, I'll go take them. So I would run down there and pay attention to what Ivan was saying. And through his teaching of acting, he was really sharing with a lot of young folks. They were primarily young actresses and actors getting started. Insights that he had gained in his life, which had taken him in many, many different directions. Not all of them upwards. A lot of them in angles that many of us wouldn't have gone in, but that all of whom contributed to making Ivan Kronenfeld the man he has become. Ivan was the one who put Stephen Dubner, who we've had on the show together with me. Stephen Dubner's book, Freakonomics, is still on the New York Times bestseller list. A very bright guy who was at the Times Magazine at the time, and was one of the reasons I actually started doing media, because he had decided to write a piece. We'll have a piece commissioned for the New York Times Magazine on alternative medicine. It ended up being called The Experiments of Dr. Oz. And that article changed my life because I began to realize the power of the media and how folks really could read something that they trusted, that they believed to be authentic, and begin to translate it into their own lives. That's what we try to do on the Oprah and Friends channel. And a lot of that came from my earlier experience being mentored through this process by Ivan. Ivan was also involved with Second Opinion, which was the first show we did on Discovery Channel, where we tried to put medical school in a bottle and share it with all of America. And his insights throughout this process, and even in some of the books that I've written, and particularly Healing from the Heart, which is the first book I ever wrote, I don't think I would have ever done it without Ivan. And without that, I don't think I would have done any of the U-books or much that came to follow.
For all of it, for me, because people say, how did you do all these different things? And to me, they're all the same thing. And you know it. What I learned from Stella and from Annabelle and from other people, there's a physics to human behavior. Mm. So whether you're in medicine, whether you're in law, whether you're in boxing, there is a physics to human behavior. It's like Tony and I had a case and there was a gun involved. And Tony said, well, when you caught the guy with the gun, when you found this gun, what did he say? Oh, he said that his daughter was in the house and he didn't know where to keep it, so he brought it into the office and he stuck it in the desk. And Tony said, when he told you this story, did he say once upon a time first?
That's right. Good.
There's
yeah.
a physics to it. You know it.
Right.
You've said over the years, don't operate on anybody who's convinced he's not going to survive the operation.
Right.
You're right. You've picked up these, you know, with your children. You say, okay, you're lying to me. And no, I was doing the homework. There's a physics to the behavior. And once you learn that physics, which we never through mastering, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Humans are doing it.
Right.
There's always going to be a technical component. It's like Dr. Legato, when I first met her, Jim Kiss introduced me to Dr. Yeah. Legato. And she said, well, I just want to work with you. She says, I practice gender-specific medicine. I said, no, you don't. You practice women's medicine. You're not interested in the guy. No, you're wrong. And because she's such a great lady, 2 days later she calls me up and says, you're right. I haven't looked at men specifically enough
mm-hmm.
in terms of... So that if you're always on, you know, I had three rules for my granddaughter. No lying, no whining, be nice to other people.
Right, it's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
It's 3 out of 10, I think. You know, you mentioned Dr. Mary Legato. We had her on the show recently, and she is an expert in gender-specific medicine. She uses that phrase because she argues that it's not so much that she's studying men, but she thinks by studying women, you learn a lot about men.
Yeah.
And that's a good point.
It is a very good point. And she's in part of what we've been doing together is for her to sit down, people that you've met. And I always try to get these people together. So it's important for me to meet General Franklin. By the way, we just did his book, and he sent me an autographed copy for you.
Thank you.
You know, that for Mehmet to see from a general's point of view how you're looking at the world, the issues that he thinks are important.
Well, let's go there. I was going to go to parapsychology, but we'll see
that. Go wherever you want.
Let's talk about leadership. One of the things that you spend a lot of time thinking about is leadership. When I was giving a talk to one of our national party meetings on leadership, I spoke to Ivan, and he said, you know, I would go back to the fundamental reality that in the operating room, you have to lead.
Right.
And in the operating room, your biggest enemy is indecision.
Right.
And in medicine, when things aren't going right, it is your duty to tell the truth to people, and people respond well to that, usually. In fact, quite the opposite. When you lie to them, they don't like it.
Right.
Those are the kinds of insights, like the three lessons you were sharing with your granddaughter, that I think are hugely beneficial as folks think about where our leaders should be. So you've been working a lot with folks at West Point.
Yeah.
And I have to say, you know, if you want to look at a culture of leadership,
yeah, unbelievable.
An organization that's been there for 200 plus years, right? Because you produced a bicentennial of it.
Yes.
You're looking at a group that has mastered the ability to lead and to pass along the secrets of leadership. What are those?
When I speak to, I just went there the other day with, and Joe Franklin was named a distinguished graduate of West Point. And you see these guys from the class of 37 were there. And Joe says, leadership is caught, not taught. And it's very, very profound. You know, these guys know a lot about it. And by the way, they used to say about West Point, 200 years of tradition unimpeded by progress. But you go up there now and you watch the parade on the ground, and, you know, the chief of the platoon or brigade or whatever it is a little African-American woman who's 4'8" tall. That's not exactly the West Point of Custer.
No, but she could probably do more sit-ups and push-ups than you could.
She probably could. And you know what's very interesting that you bring that up? They keep very strict records of that at West Point.
Yeah.
The women of today do as many push-ups and pull-ups and run as fast as the men of the 50s.
Really?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Hmm.
So the one thing that I learn about them, and I've done a lot of stuff with Joe, everybody takes full responsibility for everything that happens.
Yep.
We were in a meeting with Joe where something had gone wrong, and the guy was very angry and went after Carl, and Joe said, no, excuse me. It happened under my watch. You talk to me about it. I'm totally, fully responsible for it. And I think that we so much don't have a culture right now where people say, no, I did it.
Yep.
I'm responsible. I screwed it. And I know a lot of what you talk about in terms of the medical courts is for the doctor to have an ability to say,
yep, I messed up.
I messed up.
But Ivan is the kind of person that can, in 4 or 5 words, because he's very good about conservation of time and words, tell you an insight, share with you an observation that changes your perspective on what's going on in the world around you. And he's a big thinker. You know, he's a very religious man. He has always had a strong sentiment that his relationship with God was an important element on him. But he wasn't going to define you in that context, as we were here. He would have Seder dinners, and I don't think there were any Jews there, except Ivan. Ivan, his wife, isn't Jewish. She's converted, but so this wasn't about one religious sect versus another. It was really about